would like to call this meeting of the Taney County Commission, April 18th, 2011, to order. And I would like to call on Sherry Veldkamp to offer the opening prayer.
Oh, Heavenly Father, we just come before your throne of grace this morning, and we ask for your presence in this meeting. We ask for your covering for these people who have been elected to this position. We ask, dear Lord, that you will give them wisdom in their hearts. We ask, dear Lord, that you will give them knowledge in their heads. And we ask, O Heavenly Father, that you will cause them to act for the good of the people. We ask for favor for our county this morning. We ask for protection for our troops. And we ask, Heavenly Father, for deliverance for our country, for the things that seem to plague our hearts and our minds today. We ask for your blessing upon our county today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Mr. Strahan, will you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Gentlemen, first order of business today is previous meeting minutes of March 28th, March 29th, March 30th, April 1st, April 6th, April 8th, and April 12th.
I move we approve with corrections that were noted on the documents. So move to approve all those with corrections.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to approve prior commission minutes dated 328, 329, 330, 41, 46, 48, and 412. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed nay. Motion carries unanimously. Next order of business is accounts payable.
Good seeing you. I'll move that we approve accounts payable checks 324122 through 324196, warrants 5399 through 5401, and transfers that were in the box.
I'll second.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve checks, warrants, and transfers. As so stated, all in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed nay. Motion carries unanimously. Were there any journal entries aside from the transfers? We have those. No. Okay. Mm-hmm. Next order of business, Nikki is and Linda is bid opening. First up, workers' compensation. We are here.
Plug it on down there. Just change the plug.
Here we go. Thank you. We had two responders in the workman's comp bid. We have
Linda,
Matt.
Linda, would you pull that microphone a little closer?
A little closer?
Yeah, that's right good. There? We're getting something then.
Okay.
Okay. We've had two responders. We have MAC, Missouri Association of Counties, and we also have Connell Insurance. The first one is MAC, Missouri Association of Counties. They have included their bid, their total premium. It's going to be $170,542.
Is that a 12-month premium? Is that what that is?
That's correct. Okay. And then they have their prorated premium
underneath
that.
Okay.
Next is Connell Insurance. Their total bid amount on their sheet is coming in at $149,356. With their actual annual premium at $162,731.
So the apples to apples would be $162,731 to $175,42 for the annual premiums. Is that what I understand?
$162,731 to $170,542.
Okay. Thank you.
$170,542.
Gentlemen, in as much as, and that was all, correct?
Yes, sir.
Acres did not
bid. Two bids.
In as much as we've already been through this process and we have already received the recommendation of staff for Connell Insurance, insurers, and we were advised by council that we needed to go back out for bids because we weren't basically bidding apples to apples. One insurance company had bid on a different premium amount than the others, or I said that wrong, but on a different amount than others. I think that we should move forward with this. We've held it too long, and we need to make a decision. I would entertain a motion.
Motion for approval, Connell Insurance as the
provider.
Second the motion.
Motion's been made and seconded to accept the bid of Connell Insurance. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed nay. Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Do you have any comments or no?
Thank you very much.
Linda, the next order of business is computerized temperature control, performance, and non-performance.
Yes, sir.
What have we got today?
We have two companies that have responded to both. One company has included both of their responses in one package. We'll begin with...
Remind me, this is an RFQ, not an RFP?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. We are looking for a company that will work with us and help us then move to put out a bid for the services that we need or the product that we need
Okay. Once
we have their services. So this is an RFQ. The first one is Malicote Engineers. Malicote.
Would you spell that for me?
Engineers. Yes, sir. Malicote-Winslow, Winslow Engineers.
Okay.
Out of Columbia, Missouri. And again, this is on the performance. This is 124 on the computerized temperature control performance contract. The next company that responded was a gentleman by the name of John Kelsch, K-E-L-S-H.
And this is for performance contracting?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
They've responded to both. They've just included their response in one envelope here, it appears. Okay. Here is their response to the performance. And then next we have the non-performance, and we have both companies responding again.
Same companies?
Yes, sir. Malicote Winslow Engineers.
I'm somewhat confused. Go ahead.
There were two. We looked at putting this out two different ways, a non-performance.
No, I know that, but I'm confused by the very vendor that asked us to go out for bid didn't respond.
Oh, yes.
Then they got the bid, as you're opening this.
Yes, they did, and I gave them a call Friday to find out why. He had a couple questions that I answered by addendum, and he stated that he thought that their team was working on this prior to the questions coming in. And they were not. So when he took them the answers, they had not even began.
Well.
So he said that if you gentlemen would want to give him another chance.
Well, they're.
And I told him I'd mention it.
These are the two companies that have responded to both.
These are the only two companies that responded. He didn't. There were the other gentleman did not respond. And that's what he stated is that they just. it was communication, I guess, on their part. He thought that their team had began the RFQ, and they did not. So that's all he could say was that he would love to put in a letter or something, but he did not even contact me to let me know that
there was
any type of problem until I contacted him. He did thank me for contacting him.
Which company was it that was here?
EPM.
And
no, EPM did respond. Fred Malcote, I believe, is the one who works with EPM. This is the first part of it. We have to do like an engineer to help us with the company. The one that did not respond is Johnson Control that we already have over here, their person.
Johnson Control didn't respond. Okay.
Yes,
so
is the one that.
Okay. Malcote is the engineer. Okay.
Yeah.
Did we, other than legal notice, have we reached out to any other companies nationally? The reason I ask that is I know there's a number of companies that, through NACO, provide these services, and I mean a number of companies.
Right. I was looking through my list, who's contacted me over the time. Who else did you reach out to?
I sent this to the gentleman that works with Johnson Control, the gentleman that works with the EPM, and this other company as well. I had got a couple from Rick. And then I posted, of course, on the web.
Okay. Okay.
So, again, the company, the engineering company that we select, they will do an RFP for us that will go out to several different companies on the product going in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that we were looking for a company to help us
right
with that process. So that's it. We only have two respondents. We have the the CTS. It looks like that the Mr. Kelsch is with Control Technology and Solutions, John Kelsch, and then we have Fred Malcote with the Malcote Winslow Engineering.
Okay, and you're going to provide us a breakdown of what you think about those two companies and what they submitted on both performance and non-performance.
Yes, sir.
Excellent. Gentlemen,
that's all I got.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you.
Rick, monthly budget report.
I usually send these to you early in the month, so it's probably been a couple of weeks since you've got this.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, I do that to get it into the minutes and give you guys a chance to ask questions. And so do you see anything you want to ask a question about there, I guess?
Do you have anything that you feel in it is noteworthy that we should be questioning? Because I don't have any.
Okay. Well, you know, I look at the fund balances, and when they are moving up, I'm usually confident that's the way we want to be or if they're staying steady. GCR is actually down this month, but the rationale for that can be seen in the other little spreadsheet that I send to you. We actually, our bond payment went out, $1.1 million. We do that one time a year. We were over 52% in that particular line, and then we also paid out all of the animal control. I think it's $183,000 or something like
right.
that. So,
are we required to do that by agreement, to send that all at once, or could we do it
yes.
monthly?
The contract is
calls for it that way.
They get it by, I think, March 1st. I'm not sure. But it is in the contract.
The bond payment was like $1.1 million, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if you look at those two things, we're holding pretty steady with all those funds. So that would be the only thing that I would have expected. Maybe somebody would have questioned, but you probably saw the same things I did.
No, I look fine. I mean, you
thank you, Rick.
Sitting on the floor. So it doesn't require a motion. It just needs to be entered into the record, correct?
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. Can you send that report to the county clerk so it's easier for them to scan that
sure.
into the minutes?
You want me to just forward it right here? I've got it right in front of me.
Okay.
It's April 4th. You send it to us.
Right.
So.
I'll send it to
Donna.
Angie, we need to include that.
Include that in. Angie also.
Okay.
Okay. I've sent it.
Thank you. And mm-hmm. thank you, Rick. Next issue is FEMA issues. Rob, is that you?
Yes, sir.
You want to come on up, sir? And how are you today?
Fine, how are you?
Good.
Last time I was here was concerning some floodplain issues, and at the point we left it, I never received any further response from the commission and didn't know where it stood, and realizing that you wasn't here at that time, Ron, to hear everything. I'm not sure what all you would want me to tell you this morning, but I was placed in a floodplain in a home that I'd lived in for 20-some years, and due to the adoption of FEMA's maps and things, they placed me in a floodplain. There was a motion made at the end of all my explaining everything that I'd been through, that I'd be reimbursed for the cost that I incurred. Some wanted to look into it further with Eddie Coxey, Doug Fabian, I believe. They were going to visit with him and find out more information on what all had happened. I was given forms to fill out through the planning and zoning, which was outdated in 2005. So when the surveyor completed all the forms that we was given to be withdrawn from the floodplain or to work towards that, it came back, and then we had to redo another set of forms, complete set of forms, to try and get out. In the meantime, there was going to be some research done, and I don't know if anybody here was ever able to do it, but I went and done some myself, went over and looked through the records, because there was a question wondering how many people had been affected by this. In my area, there is no base floodplain elevation ever established, so there's really nothing to go by because this isn't done. The surveyor, when he came out and done all his elevation work and survey work, he basically had to establish everything from scratch because there was no area. Now, due to this, whenever all this took place, it was my understanding that Doug thought that the map had probably slipped when FEMA printed it, which, because if you go up there and look at the entire area, you'll see why he believes that. I've got a neighbor just that I can look down on his house, and he sits right beside the creek, and he's not in it. And on down the road, there's a little church that everybody knows has flooded from time to time that's not in it. And my desire and my request is that from the very get-go was that the commission tried to hold FEMA accountable for their maps and for their decision and for what they have done, and that I be reimbursed for all the cost that I've incurred to prove. And indeed, I have done that. I've got back all the information, and I am out of the floodplain.
Help me out.
Okay.
So there was... I know so little about this. I probably don't know the right questions to ask, but... I'm curious. Number one, you were placed in a floodplain when, in fact, you're not in the floodplain.
Yes.
And that was done by FEMA or by the county?
The county commission, it was my understanding, they adopted FEMA's. When the FEMA came to them,
okay,
said, here's a floodplain map, and this is what we have. And I believe it was before Jim was on the commission. I believe it was before Danny was on the commission. So all you gentlemen, I'm sure, is somewhat in the dark, and I'm not throwing stones at any of these guys.
But you're right.
I understand that.
The map was approved by the commission. It was FEMA's map. It sounded like during the discussion that no one from the commission actually looked at the map. If Danny, you kind of remember that? It was just they just approved the map, assuming it was correct. And it looked like it all shifted. It was a manual process back then.
So there was no provision if, in fact, FEMA had made a mistake for individuals to be corrected without having... I'm assuming a survey, or?
This is the avenue that I was instructed. The only way that I could, now at the initial beginning, I was of the belief that in talking with FEMA that I could go to Eddie Coxey and they could come to you guys and you guys pull me out. But the end, no, that wasn't the way that it was. I had to fill out all this, had to hire a surveyor to come out, shoot elevation, take pictures, all sorts of stuff, and Doug done this, and due to the error in the 2005 form, as you see, the 2005, and I give these guys a copy, I think, before, mm-hmm. but and they know that it was definitely the material I got to even have the surveyor to fill out was all wrong from the start. So the first one was just basically thrown out the window, but Doug was very fair to me in the cost, and we redone the second one. We got an updated form, which Eddie didn't understand. I don't believe that the form was even outdated that he gave me.
Just getting a little background. I have an email. I think you came to us on the last time, August 16th. You can kind of read this. Here's a little history of it. On August 16th, Mr. Dalton came before us. I sent a note to David Roush over at McCaskill's office. Gave him all the thing. That's when it talked about the wrong form was used and you had to submit the new form. And then David sent me a response back then saying he passed on to FEMA and will let you know what the response is. I never got a response. So I just now, I apologize. I didn't follow up myself, but they were supposed to send us a response when FEMA got a response, and they never did. So that's where it sits. There's a little history of everything in emails. I went back and forth to Roush back. Yes, this dates back to last year.
Pardon me?
This goes back to July, if not sooner than that.
A long time. The last time I believe I was here, according to the minutes of the county, was in January.
Go back up.
If these minutes are correct.
Last one, not available.
Yep. The appeal process, to answer your question, before the commission approves a flood map, there's supposed to be hearings and all that, and that's when they're supposed to allow people to come in and review their parcel to make sure that they weren't put in there accidentally. We're not – that process looks a little gray. We can see if there was actual – that process.
Well, there was. There was a process, but it didn't answer his question. And what I understood from visiting with Doug, that there was a survey mistake first. I mean, in his first form that you filled out, right?
There was a mistake as far as the meters being calculated to footage.
Right.
There was an error there. Doug didn't charge me the extra for correcting that, is my understanding.
Right.
But there was an error there also, yes.
What was the cost to you to get this corrected, Rob?
The total cost one time was $655 and $625 for a total of $1,280. I think that you guys have the copies of those from Archer Engineering. But the thing that was so interesting to me, and I want you guys to understand this, when I went and researched all of the cases where people had applied for LOMAs and to try to be pulled out of floodplains, almost all of those was already in a zone where there was a base floodplain elevation established. Mine wasn't. And that was a question that you guys had. Mm-hmm. How many folks would it affect? But if you go and look at the records and look at all these people that have applied, some of them knowingly built there, but then they had a survey done to pull them out. They knew the base floodplain elevation. They knew what it was and all this. In my area where I live, there is no base floodplain elevation established. And that, you know, in itself is hard for me to comprehend how FEMA can place you in a floodplain zone when there's no base elevation established. It's just like you could be in the middle of anywhere. And if there's no known elevation, how can you call it a floodplain? Because there's nothing to go by. There's no markers. And I just really would like to see, and this is why I come to you guys, I would like to be reimbursed, of course, but I would like to see the county be reimbursed because FEMA needs to be accountable for their mistakes and what they have done, is my belief. And that's why I come to you guys, because you guys, I'm sure, have a lot more clout there than I ever would at trying to make them understand this. If there's any other questions, Ron, I'd be happy, because I know you wasn't here, and it's been a long time for these gentlemen to hear.
Well, Jim has just stated he is recontacting David Rauch. David Rauch is a strong advocate on behalf of Senator McCaskill, if I'm not mistaken. I knew him years ago when he was a state representative, and he's a good guy, and he won't give up on pursuing until we have an answer. I feel confident of that. I would like to chat with the commission. I would like some time to talk with you for my own edification so I could learn more about this. In the slippage that you think when they were doing the map, how many people might that have affected?
Well, obviously I'm in a rural area. You know, I'm just not certain. You know, it would have an adverse effect, obviously, on my neighbor because I'm looking down on his home. You know, it would put him, if the map was corrected the way that I understood that Doug thought that it slipped, it would put him in, take me out.
Which means that he would have to purchase flood insurance, correct?
Yes.
And
yeah.
And that's the whole thing, you know, is just, and like I told these guys, you know, the assessed evaluation on my home for 20-some years, you know, I've lived there, and if indeed I am in a floodplain zone, then the value of my home would go down, obviously. I mean, it should, and rightfully so, but it's never been that way. And there's just a lot of things that, you know, and I'm no surveyor, and I don't know, and not a professional on reading maps, but I believe if you'd visit with Doug, the way I understood him, his belief is that probably when they printed it, that it indeed did slip, and it looks that way to me when you look at it. But as far as I had a number of people probably on my road, you know, I'm not sure how large the map is that when they printed it, how large of an area it covers when they slipped. I'm not sure what increments that they print those in. But I can tell you that it would affect my neighbor. He would be in, I would be out. On down the line, the church would probably be in it there. And, of course, you know, it's obvious everybody knows it floods there in Brown Branch.
Oh, the church is right on the creek.
Yes. Yeah. And that's what's kind of funny. It's, you know, when you look at the map, and it's right there where Beaver Creek, Big Beaver, and Canyon run together. And, I mean, it's flooded, and everybody knows it's flooded. And for it to be out, it's just kind of amusing in itself. But that's why I really, and I'm not sure what FEMA come up and presented to you guys lately, if they presented a map, if they're done with their work, and if it shows if I'm in it or out of it.
I have a letter upstairs. There's a process there. You know, we had the public comment where they took comment. I have a letter up there telling us when they're going to submit new maps to us, and I don't have that data in front of me. I know the timeline's coming up this summer. Danny, do you remember?
No, but I do remember that they brought maps in here. We had several people come in. Mr. Dalton had stated his concerns, and so there was a lot of people that came in here. My statement to Mr. Dalton at the time was that there was a concern with several counties, and I would bring it up at the Southwest Missouri Commissioners meeting. I did so. It kind of works as government always works. It seemed that they weren't particularly affected by this issue and didn't seem to have as much concern as the first time that we talked when they thought they were affected. So that in itself was... And there has been research done. Like I said, I went to Doug and visited with him about this possible mistake that was made in the shifting of the maps. And then at our Southwest Missouri Conference of Commissioners, I brought it up there, whereas I had brought it up before when FEMA first presented their I don't think it was maps, but it was an illustration that they give to us. And everybody seemed to be concerned about it because they thought that some of the people were going to be affected. Mm-hmm. And then it just kind of died by the wayside. As you well know, at the time, I didn't know how many was affected. And I had actually, you've done the research. I made a motion that we reimburse you for your expense. I don't know that what result that would have on Taney County if we couldn't get reimbursement from FEMA. for what we take upon their mistake and possibly the way it's all turned out, it may be our mistake for adopting FEMA.
Well, one thing I would compliment you on this time, I received, as many others did, in the mail this time, that there's talk of FEMA adopting a new map, and it was very helpful and to get people to set up and pay attention to come down here, you know, to you guys and say, hey, I'm not in there, or right. Realize that they are. And I wish so bad that would have happened before they adopted it back in, I can't remember if it was 2004, was it? Is that when it was, 2005?
It was before me. I mean, I think it was maybe 02.
02? Okay, I wasn't certain. I knew it was a long time ago.
I think it's 02 because I think this FEMA map is going to be approved for the 12 season. You know, so that's why they're doing the hearings this year, and then I think they approve it for what I'd like to do. I don't want to push you off much longer, but my thing is I'd like to force a response to this email that I never got back in August. Talk to Senator Blunt's office, too, since they're involved, too. If we get some indication that there's a hope for us getting reimbursed, then I'd at least like to know that information before we start reimbursing.
Pros and cons of FEMA aside, if the county commission, and this is not a slap, but if in fact they did not conduct the public hearings in a way that was necessary for the public to respond and point these things out, then the county is going to have to shoulder some of that potentially. At least that's my initial feeling.
But we did, Ron. We actually had a meeting. And I think
he's talking about before you.
Before.
He's talking about when it came
When they adopted it. Okay.
You guys.
Yeah, like what you're saying, you've been notified a lot of times for the current new map. The process before, when I started doing research, it looked like we didn't do the process.
Absolutely.
But you are aware that they did come in, and we had several citizens, Ron. You're aware of that would they come in, stretch maps out.
Last fall kind of thing.
Last fall or something. We had several people come in because they were questioning the same thing that he is.
Right. And this was all the way you guys handled it. Uh-huh. The folks that was at the wheel before you all was here.
Right.
I don't believe handled it that well.
Right.
Well, that's what I was gathering. Yeah, if in fact that is the case, and the public wasn't given the opportunity to come and voice their objections to what was on the map, then there is a problem that would, I think, at least from my perspective, bring the county into play. If you'll give us some time, I promise you I will not let a lot of time pass before we revisit this. And you've heard from Jim, and he's going to pursue the process with the Fed, and we will get back with you.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you guys' time, and I knew you had a lot of things going on. I didn't want to trouble you. So I let a little time pass by before I came back.
Can we get a copy of the? You've got new documents, right, that shows you're out now? Because before last time we were here, we didn't have the new documents showing.
Can we
get a copy of those? I think we're going to be taking a recess anyway here in just a second. But can I just get a copy of that so I can scan them and send them to the federal people? Because Roy Blunt's now a senator.
I'm not sure if I have that because I may have put it in my safe deposit box because they said it's something I always needed to keep.
Okay.
So if I don't have it in here, it'll be in my safe deposit box. Probably I'll have to go get it.
It would help if I had showed them that proves ultimately that you never were in there. You know, and that way it's like, okay, guys. So that may just help out one last piece of information.
And Rob, I understand your position. You have neighbors there. You've got a church that several citizens in that area attend, and you want a correction. And your correction is going to force something upon them that they either shouldn't deserve after this period of time, but it's probably going to be the correction made will put them in the floodplain. They will be charged flood insurance, all this. It's a big mess. It's on the federal government level. And so I understand how sensitive this is to you. You've lived there. You're a native of that area. So we'll just try to revisit this, put this up on our front burner again, and see what we can do.
Nikki, can you make sure we don't go 2 weeks I mean, make sure that we don't go 2 weeks without getting some sort of update. I wouldn't think this is going to take long. Just repost if we have to.
We'll stay on top of it.
Thank you. The planning and zoning, I think they kept a copy of that.
Okay, then let's get with them to get the forms. We'll just scan it in.
Yeah, but I'll look through it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. We have two issues left. Before we do the first one, which is name clarification of Taney County Graham Clark Airport, the next is the Empire District or Empire Electric easement. If I'm not mistaken, we don't have all the documentation that's necessary for that, and we need to have council review. So if we could send that item on for council review and wait for that documentation, then we would just have one item left.
Right. Just my reason for just leaving it on there was just what council we're going to use. Who do you want to use? I mean, do you want to use Keck and Austin? Do you want to use, I mean, they're doing a lot of work for us anyway. You want to use Bill McCullough across the street? He also is on, I wouldn't say retainer, but he also has some contractual rates with us too. So either one, but whatever you guys, I'm indifferent. I just know there's going to be some review. It shouldn't take very long.
Well, let's move that down to, let's make that decision as we talk about vacancies.
Okay.
And I don't know how that's on their employment discussion or vacancies. Let's see. Let's move that down to that point.
Okay.
Decide who wants to do what on those issues.
Okay.
Yeah. Help me out, Danny. How can we talk about the easement under vacancies?
Who we're going to use to check on the easements is all I'm saying. We're going to establish at that point.
We could do that under the employee discussion.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah, because in the executive session part, we have a part where we can talk about litigation. And so anytime there's litigation, we're supposed to have I think by then we'll have a list of all the open projects that were left that we need to assign.
The issue we have is name clarification of the Taney County Graham Clark Airport. I think that's your issue, Jim.
Yeah, I just posted that. All they're asking for right now at this point is they are the airport board is considering doing some name changing for some publications for so that they can provide safety. I mean, the biggest thing they brought up was since the airport was taken over by Taney County, there's been two new airports added in the area, Branson Regional, Branson West. And they've had some situations where they would like, it would have helped the pilots and ground crew to know if they're flying in the correct airport. What they're asking for is currently Taney County is in the title. They want to know if we're requiring them to leave Taney County in the title. That's all they want to know. They're not asking for name suggestions. They're not asking for anything other than they're trying to simplify in the publications the name. The contract that we have with the CFO states that M. Graham Clark Airport or Field has to remain in there, but they're looking for some direction on does Taney County need to stay in there. They thought it did. They felt like two commissioners that aren't here anymore were adamant about it, but that's all what I asked them. I said I would get clarification, a yes or no if it's important. If not, then I would let them know.
How is the flight code? Is it still
PLK? Point Lookout. Well, that won't change.
And
what happens is, like in Kansas City where there's multiple airports, you'll say Kansas City International, or you may say Kansas City Downtown. And so they're trying to, traditionally the name that the pilots use is more of a geographic locator. The three-letter abbreviation doesn't change. So like it's BBG over at Branson Regional. It doesn't really mean anything. But anyway, they're just looking for clarification. Pilots don't know where Taney County is. They want to know, is it easier for them, if it's all right for us to just drop Taney County and let them come up with a new name. And bottom line, they're going to come to us with a new name anyway for our approval. But they're just seeking guidance. And I can just tell you from one commissioner, I didn't see where Taney County was that necessary to be in the title anywhere. That's just where my opinion is.
And, of course, Jim, I'd have to differ with you.
Okay.
Because of our investment into the airport, and it was very sensitive for an Eastern commissioner to take on the responsibility of supporting this airport, and I had several reasons to do so, and I think that our responsibility as far as any grants or anything like that would look different.
I may not be explaining myself. The signage wouldn't change out by the airport. It would still stay the way it is. This is for publications in airport airplane magazines, pilots, stuff that pilots use to fly in. Not our signage out. The airport signage won't change. That's not they're not asking for the signage. They're asking for some name change in some publications.
Okay.
Because I think our signage right now says Taney County Airport at M. Graham Clark Field, I think is what our sign is out by the road.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be appropriate for the committee or board to submit a list of priorities, three or four potential names for us to look at.
Okay.
And you could house both, have a couple of them with Taney County in it and a couple without.
Okay.
And the reasoning why they feel strongly for their first priority.
Okay.
Is that all right?
That's fine with me. I just want to make sure that, and I didn't know just what you got through saying, but I do know that if Taney County citizens are going to be in a financial situation, that I do not want that to change. So I would, and I apologize, I think that's the third airport board meeting that I've missed since they've been.
It happened to be a doozy.
It happened to be a good one. And so I apologize for the fact that I'm not up to date on their reasoning or anything behind and the first thing I heard was safety, but then I've had a couple of board members call me. I don't know how they voted at the meeting, but
they didn't vote.
They didn't vote.
No, there was
I had
no
a
vote.
Couple call me with concerns of changing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that puts me in a kind of, without knowing that, without having all the information, puts me in an odd
It's
position.
Not unanimous. I mean, the discussion was not going to be unanimous.
Okay, all right. Well, I'd rather they would come forward and give us something.
Okay. I will send a note to Dave Wooler, who's the chairman of the board, and just tell him the next board meeting submit some names, and we'll go from there. Okay?
Yep. And when you talk about names, you're actually talking about location names that are as far as initials. Like you said, Branson?
They're talking about calling downtown airport.
Calling what?
Downtown. See, Kansas City is listed as downtown. That would help the pilots know where they're flying into. We've had many pilots land at the regional thinking they're landing at the Point Lookout. Because you could talk about people who've never been here before. Pilots landed at our airport at PLK, and then they thought they landed at Branson West. And so there's a small safety concern because of the airspaces, all the airspaces overlap each other. So they're trying to use the geographic indicators, kind of saying either Branson downtown or Hollister downtown, something that people know where they're coming, where they're landing. And that's been a little challenge.
Okay. All right.
Just trying to help the pilots when they do come in.
So you don't think calling it the Betweener Airport?
I don't think Betweener would work.
Gentlemen, do you have anything else? If not, I think we should stand in recess until the 10 o'clock meeting.
Yep.
Then we will stand in recess until the 10 o'clock meeting.